5:03 in the Fast Lane, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker, great to have you with us, and we've got Take It or Leave It coming up in a moment. You can send your text in to the Hot Shots text line 65780 because we'd love to hear from you. Before we get to Take It or Leave It, the seventh inning stretch is one of the oldest traditions in baseball, and of course, it comes with a rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And yesterday, Bears head coach Matt Nagy sang it at the Cubs game, and let's just say he probably won't get another invite.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back for it.
I'm sorry, you can go to a game and buy a gigolo?
At Wrigley.
Mm-hmm. At Wrigley. Yeah.
They're building.
You get it for free there. Oh, by the way, I've done that.
Do it, Matt.
I have done that. On the air, I was talking about the peanut-free days at ballparks and how sometimes you're on an airplane, and if somebody has a peanut allergy, they don't give out peanuts.
Yeah.
And I said penis. Mm. But I didn't know I said it. And they
People had to tell me later.
Yeah, they told me later.
Well, after Albert Pujols came to town, we talked to Matt Holliday, and he said that he might be interested in coaching someday. Matt has been hired as an assistant coach on his brother Josh Holliday's staff with Oklahoma State. Take it or leave it, Matt Holliday one day becomes a major league manager.
I'm going to leave it. I think he could.
I think I'm going to leave
it
as well.
But I don't think he will.
It's a lot. It's a lot to commit. He's played he had a heck of a career. Played as long as he could, as long as somebody would give him a job. And I know how much he loves his money. Yeah, and he loves his family and wants to be around a little bit more. So I don't know. I'd be a little bit surprised if he went that direction.
Matt Holliday will be an assistant coach on Josh's staff and will be in charge of offensive development and outfielders.
I'm always surprised, actually, if a person who had a long career and made a lot of money doing it, why they would want to get back in and have that full-time schedule of a manager and then take on all the stress of when things don't go well, it being your fault. I don't know why you'd do it.
It's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot. Hey, you guys know Yu Darvish, right?
Yeah.
Yu Darvish got his first win at Wrigley Field as a Cub yesterday. It was a 5-2 victory over the Reds. That's right. His first win at Wrigley Field as a Cub. Things have not gone great. He's had some injuries. He's had some ineffectiveness. Take it or leave it, Yu Darvish's contract with the Cubs is worse than Jason Hayward's contract with the Cubs.
So far, you have to take it.
I'm going
to
take that, too.
World Series.
Yep. He gave the speech. And actually, Jason Hayward's having a good year this year.
He is.
Best year since 2012, actually.
Yeah.
So, I would say so.
I'm going to take it as well.
And you won the World Series. Bottom line, you won the World Series with Hayward.
I'm of the mindset that if you win a World Series with any contract, it's a good contract.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
Darvish has four more years of player options. 22, 22, 19, and $18 million. Wow.
Woof. By the way, Jay Hay hitting 275 this year with 15 homers, 43 RBIs, and an OPS of 826, which would be the highest since his rookie season.
Man. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
To an extent. West Virginia State Police, fellas, they're not happy with people, at least some people, because according to Sergeant Charles Sutphin, he says, quote, people are making a synthetic type of methamphetamine out of wasp spray. That's right. Police believe wasp spray has been behind three overdoses last week. Wasn't immediately clear how the people consumed the bug spray. It causes physical effects like erratic behavior, extreme swelling, and redness of the hands and feet. So take it or leave it. Since the people of West Virginia are getting high with bug spray, we need to find a new song.
I don't know if it's just because of that reason. I'll leave it.
I'm going to take it. Yeah.
We can't be celebrating West Virginia anymore.
No.
Not after news like this.
And we've gone through pretty much everybody in West Virginia that could introduce the song anyway. Mark Bulger and the center for the West Virginia football team.
Yeah.
Pretty much it.
They never Lafayette reached out kid. To John Denver, though, which I don't understand.
Do they have Jerko do it?
Hmm?
They have Jerko?
Oh, yeah, he's a West Virginia guy. Yeah. That's true. And they could have got Nick Saban, I guess. That's a great question, Raj. I don't know why they wouldn't have reached out to John Denver.
It doesn't make sense. He's the guy that wrote it, right?
I would reach out to John Denver.
He could fly in and maybe do something to the game.
Yeah.
Does he have a, was it a helicopter
or a plane?
Watch
out for those trees. I think it was a homemade plane.
Yeah.
Those never work out.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Makes sense. What kind of plane? Yeah. He made it.
What do you got for us? Hey, by the way, did you guys see that Harrison Ford crashed again?
No way.
Three times. Yeah, he was
recently?
In the hospital last week. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You talk about somebody just playing with death.
Yeah, it's
Come
unbelievable.
On, man.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, look it up. Do a Google for Google news search for Harrison Ford plane.
There was a sketch show called Kids in the Hall, and one of the sketches was a guy who kept going back to get his ass kicked at the bar. Even though he was always losing the fight, he kept getting up and trying, and it's pretty funny. That's Harrison Ford with planes. Stop doing it. They are kicking your ass.
Guys, take it or leave it. Botching the seventh inning stretch still doesn't top this.
I'll take that.
You know what? I will absolutely take that.
I'm taking it still. It means nothing. It's nothing to do with the game, all right? The doinks hurt. The penis is fine.
Oh, Matt.
I got a feeling that might get played around the stadium.
Oh, bro.
In the clubhouse, in the locker room.
Probably in the clubhouse.
With the boys.
Yep.
So
Coach got you something. Here it is.
Blues players get their day with the cup. The trainers get one. The coaches get one. Take it or leave it, Ed should get one.
Oh, I'll take that.
I'm going to take it as well.
No doubt about it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
What would Ed do with the cup for
oh
a day?
My God.
By the way, the fun you can have with audio. All you got to do is slow something down. It sounds
great.
Awesome. Yeah, take it.
Absolutely
take it.
Ed pretty much made this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Take it or leave it, someone should take the cup to the top of the arch.
I'll take that.
Hell.
She just ain't. Golly.
After his day with the Stanley Cup, take it or leave it, Pat Maroon announces he's signing with another team.
Ooh, good one.
It's a really good one.
Take it.
Day after?
Yeah, Sunday.
I'm going to leave it.
Monday.
This is more Monday news.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
All right. That's
a really
it.
Good thought, by the way.
Yeah. It is. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Coming up next in the Fast Lane, it's the Cards and Reds tonight from Cincy. We're going to talk about the series and trade deadline plans with Reds TV analyst Chris Welsh. He's next on 101 ESPN. Great to have you with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Cardinal World Series champ Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker, and the Cardinals open a four-game series with the Reds tonight at the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Joining us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line is Reds analyst Chris Welsh. Always great to have you with us. Thanks for taking some time today. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing very well, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Apparently, we're doing better than the group of catchers you have over there. My goodness, what a flurry of moves.
Yeah, you know what? It's reached kind of a critical point here for the Reds with the catching core because, you know, when you lose one guy, you think, oh, okay, we've got a backup, right? And then you lose another and you say, well, we don't have a backup. Maybe we've got something in the minor league. But the Reds did have a backup. They have Kyle Farmer, who was like a super utility player who could move everywhere, and then they lose him too. So basically the Reds have lost, you know, their three major league catchers in a span of, a week or two. Barnhart has got an issue that he won't be back for another probably 3 or 4 weeks. They're really worried about Casale. He's got a knee issue. They're not sure how serious that is. And a farmer who had never really caught much in the major leagues at all, ended up getting two foul balls off his mask and has concussion syndrome. So there's a lot of issues. The Reds had to go to the minor leagues and grab a guy who was not on the 40-man roster, put him on the roster to have him up there as an emergency catcher yesterday in Chicago. And then they picked up a player out of the minor leagues with the Yankees, Ryan LaVarnway, who's been in the big leagues before, but he was down in the minor leagues with the Yankees and basically a relief job that the Reds picked up. So it's critical, definitely, behind the plate for the Reds right now.
Which kind of leads us into where the Reds are within the division and in the National League, because if you look, every team, with the exception of the Miami Marlins, is within striking distance of a playoff spot right now. So it, as you look at the Reds and the way they're situated and the fact they haven't been in the playoffs in a few years, how aggressive do you think they'll be in addressing maybe this need or anything else?
Well, you know, the timing of this whole catching thing is a problem because it's also complicated by the fact that they have their one left-handed reliever that they can rely on. Amir Garrett is on the list right now. David Hernandez, one of their setup guys, is on the injured list as well. So if you would have asked me a week ago, I would have told you the Reds are going all in because they really feel, I believe, that the window with Joey Votto as a viable part of this offense is rapidly closing. And, you know, the older he gets, the shorter that window is. And I think that they feel because of their pitching staff the way it is this year and that the way that they've been able to pitch out of the bullpen, that they're going to go for it. So now who they're going to try to attack or try to grab, I don't know. Who they would replace, I don't know. But this ball club has five or six players on it right now who are going to be free agents at the end of the year. So there's certainly guys that would be offered out there if they could get a deal done.
Chris Welsh, the Reds TV analyst, joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And Chris, I think all of us that are objective liked the moves that the Reds made with their pitching staff during the offseason. I did not foresee them having the second-best ERA in the National League. Who has really stepped up? And tell us a little bit about the pitching coach, because obviously he's made a big difference.
Well, I think that's probably the best sign that they made, and that's Derek Johnson. Derek Johnson in 2018 was a pitching coach with the Milwaukee Brewers. He's a guy that never pitched in the major leagues. He was a college coach that was hired by the Chicago Cubs to come in their minor league operations and figure out how things are going in there. He was at Vanderbilt previously. And the Reds went down, and he had a 10-day opening in his contract last year in the wintertime. And the Reds knew that, and they went down, and they flew down to Nashville where Derek Johnson lives. And they took him out to dinner, and they basically said, you know, we are not leaving here without you coming on board. And they gave him, a signing bonus, and they offered him a lot more than what the Brewers were going to do. And he liked the idea of what the Reds are trying to do up here. He got reunited with Sonny Gray, who's been one of the best starting pitchers the Reds have had. He was named to the All-Star team, but he did not pitch. But Luis Castillo is the guy that really anchors the entire pitching staff. He's exciting to watch. He's a guy that will strike out, 10 or 11 ball guys a game. And he's got what we call and Brad, you'll know this, he's got like a cartoon changeup that hitters that seem like that they swing at it twice. It's so slow compared to a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. But those are the guys that have really made it work this year.
Chris, when they acquired Castillo, what did they expect him to be? I doubt anybody imagined that he would be this guy.
You know, the funny thing about that is that he actually was traded twice. I mean, the Marlins tried to trade him to the Padres in a Colin Ray deal, and Ray ends up with a bad arm, so they undo the deal, and they send Castillo back to the Marlins. So the Marlins decide that they need to upgrade their pitching staff, and they traded Castillo for, of all people, Dan Straley, and it worked out great for the Reds. I think what the Reds thought they were getting was a young kid with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and not really much idea of where it's going. But it depends a lot of times when you get a pitcher and maybe a change of scenery and maybe a change of how you treat him or how you coach him or all of a sudden he's receptive to some coaching. But, I mean, he came over here with a fastball change combination, which is as good as I've seen since Mario Soto. And he's just built on that and gotten better and better.
Reds going back to the last 17 games they've played against St. Louis, they have won 10 of those games. This year, 3-4. So if you look at the overall going back to last season, they've had some pretty good success. Maybe not as much this year. How do you think the Reds match up with the Cardinals as it goes in the division?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question because I think a lot of it is attitude. You know, there was a time there that the Reds basically, you know, threw in the towel when they were facing the Cardinals because the Cardinals were really good and they were sending out good pitching and they could never really get a flow of offense going and they beat up on the Red starters and so on. And I think there was a certain intimidation factor going on. That's, I think, is in the past. And I think because the Reds can pitch, I mean, when you're sending out any of the starting pitchers the Reds have had this year have had really good success. And I think you send any of them out there, there's a feeling that the ball club can win that game that night. Now, you start looking at the numbers, and you realize the Reds really struggle on the road. They really struggle in low-scoring one-run games, and they've lost a ton of those. But they still keep the other team down offensively. And I think that they feel like they can win every game. They even feel a little bit better about it when they get here in their own home ballpark.
Chris, how's Yasiel Puig fitting in with the Reds?
You know, he turns out to be a lot of what we thought he wouldn't be when we went and talked to the guys in Los Angeles. The Reds went into Los Angeles early in April. In fact, it was right after the Reds played the Cardinals down in Mexico. We went on a trip to California and talked to a lot of the people around the Dodgers, and they said, oh, he's your problem now. But as it's turned out, he's been a model citizen. He's been great in the clubhouse. He got off to a very slow start. He looked like he was trying to hit every pitch for a home run every time he took a swing. But lately he's got his offense going. He's playing a great right field. Now, I don't know whether it's because it's his free agent year, but he's gotten involved in the community. I think people here have really gotten they've taken to the Yasiel Puig. I think he gets it. He's one of these baseball players where I think he gets it. He understands what it takes to kind of schmooze the fans a little bit, but he runs out every ground ball. And, you know, he may make some wild throws out there. He's kind of like street ball guy. Okay, remember those days when you were playing out in the backyard or maybe in the schoolyard and somebody hits a base hit and he's going to act like he's going to take an extra base and you say, go ahead, I dare you. Well, he'll do that in the big league game. He'll wave the runner on and say, okay, go ahead, try my arm. And it's kind of fun to watch. He brings a personality to this ball club that they've not had previously, and I think he's helped this club a lot.
Why does he like to lick his bat so much?
God, man, can you believe doing that? You know, back in my day, I got to tell you that if God our team did that, we'd be dropping lemon on there, or putting some hot spices or something on there too. But I mean, hey, it's what he does. You know, some guys smell the bat after a foul ball because they want to smell the burning wood. Puig has taken it one step further. And I can tell you, honestly, I can't always watch, to be honest with you.
Chris, you've seen a lot of the Cardinals, certainly, over the years. So I'm seeing them this year. Is there anything that stands out to you about the Cardinals recently? You mentioned before there was that idea where, you know, sometimes the Reds would feel like they couldn't win. Remember, Brian Price used to say, coming to Busch Stadium, we don't believe that we can win here. Things have changed, certainly. Things have changed with the Cardinals. Anything stand out to you?
Well, you know, the one thing that always stands out to me about the Cardinals is it seems like every year you say, well, they're getting old. You know, their main players are old. I mean, all of a sudden I look up and I can't believe it, but, you know, Wainwright is old and Waka is, you know, on the other side. And even though he's not old, it seems like he's been around forever and ever. And you know, Molina and guys like this, Martinez, and you're thinking, well, they've got to be running out of players, right? And then they always are able to bring up, you know, a young player, you know, Tyler O'Neill or Harrison Bader or somebody like that to kind of fill in. And they're not afraid to use young players out of the minor leagues. Maybe the numbers in the minor leagues show that these guys aren't dominating at AAA, but they still bring them up here and they're great pieces. And I think that's the one thing that always strikes me about the Cardinals that kind of frustrates me really about the way the Reds philosophy is. You know, I'm a believer that if you can play decent at AAA, hey, you could probably play decent in the big leagues if you get a chance and if you can be consistent. And I think the Cardinals have proven that with a lot of their players.
Chris Welsh, we know you're getting ready to go to work. We appreciate you taking some time with us today. Enjoy the weekend with the Cardinals in town, and we will talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. I told all the guys from the Cardinals, including Danny Mack and Jimmy Edmonds, today. I said, we're going to make it seem like St. Louis in Cincinnati this weekend. We got temperatures in the low to mid-90s, and it'll be a sweat box. So we'll have some fun, and you guys have some fun in your air conditioning.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. That is Chris Welsh, Reds radio, our Reds TV analyst, with us on 101 ESPN.
Chris is a good dude.
Yeah, and it's an interesting team. They've done a good job. And by, we didn't get a chance to talk about David Bell, former Cardinal bench coach, but he's a guy that's been around, literally been around the game his entire life. And you talked about what Brian Price said. They needed to change the culture there.
No, they did. And it is amazing what they've been able to do on the pitching side of it. They just recently got Scooter Gennett back. Offensively, you believe that this club, that there's more in the tank. But as Chris Welsh was saying, a lot of injuries have caught him at a bad time. Who knows? I mean, this four-game set here could tell you a lot about the future of both of these teams as we approach the deadline.
Just got to keep Scooter from hitting three bombs tonight.
Or
they'll
four.
Be fine. Or four.
Yeah.
Damn you, Scooter.
Next up, we want your questions with the Hot Shots text line 65780. Whatever question you might have about life in general, sports in general, cards, blues, dating advice, send it now to 65780, and we'll answer it for you with our Sports Six Pack next on 101 ESPN. We do appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. And with your questions for us, here is Big Sis.
Well, we are well aware of the friendship between David Backus and Alex Petrangelo. Who texted who first after the cup win?
Oh, Petro, definitely.
Didn't Backus say he wasn't going to, or?
During it.
Or, yeah, it was
but then
during,
afterwards,
that's what it was.
The day after he said, I haven't heard from anybody, but I'm sure he has now.
Yeah, I think it's got to be somebody on the winning side, doesn't it?
You'd think so, unless like, Backus
hey,
is a class
of you
guy.
Or happy for you.
Yeah.
And he probably wasn't incredibly busy, so it could have been him.
Yeah, congrats. I think he was probably busy. He has like 10 dogs.
He does. And got a young family.
Yeah.
Too. There's a lot going on there. I'm going to go Backus now. I'm switching.
Yeah, congrats to you, Petro.
Little bit of life/relationship advice here. This texter says, I remember today that my wife's birthday is tomorrow. Great mm-hmm. save. Unfortunately, that means that our wedding anniversary was last Friday. Any
yes.
advice?
She didn't say anything?
I guess not.
This whole time?
Oh, my God. What a great move by her.
Wow.
Just realizing that you would figure it out at some point,
yep.
and she said nothing. Boy, you better go above and
I
beyond
would say
tomorrow.
That this is double gift time. Like if you were thinking of and we don't know what year you are, but if you were thinking of $1,000 ring, that's a $2,000 ring, and you're going to say, babe, I wanted to get you something special and give you both gifts at once.
So you have to act like you did it on purpose at this point.
Yeah.
So I realize that making big plans for tomorrow are going to be an issue. And I also know stuff's expensive. So understand mm-hmm. that. Hard to get good reservations. But if you have the means to, I don't know, hire a driver and maybe not an Uber.
Good play.
But like make it as special as possible and make sure the people at the restaurant that you're going to know that it's anniversary and birthday.
Bingo.
And they bring out and say it and they do it right.
And whatever her favorite restaurant is, make sure that's the case. And I would go so far as to suggest you make a homemade cake.
That seems dangerous though.
Why?
He's going to screw the cake up.
No, he's not.
How do you know?
Because he's a listener of the Fast Lane. He's smart. He's resourceful. He knows what he's doing.
So hard to sneak attack a homemade cake, though.
Yeah, buy a cake.
Well, she would probably love that. I mean, unless she's like working and you can buy the cake.
If you're buying a cake, then.
Or, I mean, make it.
You're headed to Schnucks and DePere.
Do they have, do they make wedding cakes there, too?
Unbelievable cakes.
Because he should make a wedding cake.
It's an anniversary. They already had their wedding.
It doesn't matter. To make up, he should make a multi-layered cake.
I don't think you do that.
What about an ice cream cake?
Ooh.
Hey, you got me excited.
Yeah.
When it's 105, great move.
Well, it's cold. This texter says, recently I started collecting hockey jerseys. I ordered my first Blackhawks sweater last night.
Ooh.
If you had to get a Hawks jersey, what player do you think would get the least amount of hate in St. Louis? And the person did say they went with Panger, by the way.
Oh, that's probably it. Who else would it be?
Bobby Hull. Stan Mikita.
You're probably still getting a decent amount of hate just from the front of the sweater.
Right? Yeah,
it doesn't really
are.
Matter the back yeah. of it. But everybody seems to love Panger.
Everybody does
yeah,
love Panger.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Who else played there from here?
Jamal Mayers.
Yeah.
Michael Hanzus.
Still, I think he does TV for them.
He
up
does,
there.
Yeah. So a beloved former Blue. Yeah, just a few guys.
Yeah.
This texter wants to know about the best sports documentary of all time. Personally, they say, I think it's about that Roy Hobbs guy who struck out the whammer and then
great.
Got shot and then made the best comeback in Major League history.
That was a sensational documentary. I like that one. And we talked about the one where they took the cameras into Bushwood Country Club and just kind of gave a glimpse of what it was like at that country club. I thought that one was really good, too.
I did enjoy that. That was a really good one.
Yeah, and the focus obviously was on the caddies at the Bushwood Country Club. So that was, those two would probably be my favorites.
I still like the movie about the really bad baseball team and the woman who inherited the team from her husband mm-hmm. who had just passed, and she tried to assemble the worst possible team so she can move
that was
them
a good
somewhere
one.
Else.
This guy's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Cross was pretty amazing off. That they yeah. had that sort of access for
right.
that time, too.
Right.
It was great.
You know what other one that I actually liked that was an actual documentary? Mm. I liked Catching Hell.
That was good.
Oh, yeah. Was it a 30 for 30?
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
They did a good job over there. Anything that ESPN films are ridiculous. I think they're so good.
I was amazed at how much footage there was of Bartman during and after the game.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
It is.
How much stuff is there.
It's scary, too, because that dude... Like, security knew within minutes, we better get this guy out of here
mm-hmm.
because he's going to be in some serious trouble. He's not done a single interview. He hasn't done an interview with anybody. There was a guy that wrote for ESPN. I can't remember if he's featured in that. I think his name is Wayne Drays or something of that.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
He went
to his business where he worked and staked him out. Mm-hmm. Like, and he was talking about... how they wanted him to write the story. They wanted him to go find Bartman. And he's sitting in his car just waiting for Bartman to come out of the office so he could go up to him and approach him and try to get an interview. And he couldn't do it.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
And one more. One time, camera crew was sent to chronicle a year of a minor league hockey team, the Charlestown Chiefs. That was really good, too. And those guys were really good at hitting slap
Didn't
shots.
Didn't they have some brothers
yeah.
that were on that team?
Yeah, the Hanson brothers.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Hanson brothers. Get them out here.
Mbop. A little bit more life and relationship advice here. What do you think is the most important when taking a girl out on a first date? What you wear, where you take her, or what you talk about?
It's going to be the conversation.
Yeah,
it's going to
totally.
Be number three.
It's actually don't forget your wallet.
But... See, first impression is what you wear. I think the third of the three for me probably would be where you take her. I would say first impression is important with what you're wearing and then the conversation. And then you're always going to remember where it was because you aren't taking her to a fast food place.
Yeah.
You're going to take her to at least a reasonable place. You're always going to remember that, where you went. But... you're not going to have a chance to always remember it unless you have a good conversation.
Yep, I think that's the one thing that can save all the other ones. You know, showing up for a first date, you shouldn't be all sloppy. You should dress for at least where you're going, and you should probably pick. It doesn't have to be an expensive place, but it should be just a nice enough place. But you can save it with whatever you're yapping about.
You look fantastic. You look comfortable.
Yeah, and you're here.
If you really want to impress her, do magic for her. Like
really?
A magic trick.
Does that work for you?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Ta-da.
That's it? Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's not a huge magic show.
But it's a show.
We had another texter text in about the guy who forgot his wedding anniversary. A great point here. If he forgot their anniversary, how's he going to remember what her favorite restaurant is? So I have a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. With your wife or significant other, how many of those details do you know? Favorite restaurant, favorite color, candy, place to shop?
Most of them. I think most of them.
Yeah.
Probably not all of them. Like, I don't know where I would pick for my wife's favorite restaurant, honestly. I don't know which place I'd pick for that.
Yeah.
I think if I go pasta, I'm golden. I think I'm good. And it can't be a way too fancy pasta where the waiters are looking at you. That doesn't go over very well at all. So it's got to be more of a mid-tier, mid-level pasta place.
A little bit laid back.
Yeah.
Didn't you have a coworker once that forgot his anniversary?
I did. Yeah. Hey, let's go have a beer. Okay. Yeah, let's go have a beer. This coworker went out with Anthony Stalter and and had a beer and then got a text that said, hey, where are you? I'm out having a drink with Anthony.
Did that coworker then, when read the text, say, oh!
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Was it Dunk?
It was Dunk. We were doing a remote at Golf Discount. And towards the end, hey, let's go get a beer. He was a beauty.
That's my main man right there.
Awesome. Awesome.
So one time early on in Dunk's broadcasting career, we had a restaurant chain that spent a lot of money, still does, on our station. And DeMarco finishes the commercial for this restaurant. It's a sports bar restaurant chain. And we don't get to the next spot. And Dunk says, my favorite place is Mulligan's.
he may have also dropped two bombs within 10 seconds that we couldn't dump on the air.
Yeah. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. And by the way, because I know you're going to text in about Dunk, and we'll be honest with you, when we text Dunk, what we get back is emojis. How you doing? Yep. You can ask the most open-ended question. Hey, just want you to know we love you, and you get an emoji back.
Usually get the thumbs up.
Emoji.
He responds quickly. We always let people know that you're thinking about him. We always appreciate all the texts in. I know he does, too.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And coming up, Melvin Gordon is threatening to hold out and asking for a trade if he doesn't get a new contract from the Chargers. Well, his teammates are all heading back to work. How are they supposed to approach the situation? That's next on 101 ESPN. Melvin Gordon is entering the final year of his rookie contract, a fifth-year option worth $5.6 million. And his agent, Fletcher Smith, told ESPN's Adam Schefter last Thursday that without a new deal, Gordon will not report to training camp and will demand a trade. Teams handle this in different ways. Fortunately for the St. Louis Rams, the Indianapolis Colts decided, you know what, we're just going to trade the guy. And Marshall Faulk wound up here in St. Louis, and the Rams went to a couple of Super Bowls. On the flip side, the first year the Rams were here in St. Louis, Jerome Bettis still had time left on his contract. He held out throughout. He got hurt. He was never what he should have been. Disenfranchised the team. Alienated a lot of fans when he didn't perform well. Then they trade him to Pittsburgh, and he winds up having a Hall of Fame career. Ultimately, you're going to have to pay these guys. If you think they're a really good player, even if they're a running back, just pay them.
Yeah, I hate the idea of the holdouts. Before digging into this way more in the last couple of years, I'd always think, you sign the contract, play it out. That's a little bit different in the NFL because they don't have, first of all, they don't have any guaranteed contract.
No security.
They don't have the length of careers that other sports have. You have a small earning window, and you look at Melvin Gordon, he has outperformed his contract by quite a bit. And the fact that I also realize, why am I getting pissed off about this when most of the guy's teammates are totally cool with it?
And they
because there's solidarity in that fact. Everybody in that room wants everybody else to get paid, and you want to go out there and win games. The ones where it bothers me a little bit more, if in fact it's like a quarterback and you're getting up against it and he's missing out on big time things, or maybe it's a rookie who doesn't know an offensive system yet and you're missing out on some stuff there. But In this case, it's kind of plug and play whenever he comes back anyhow, and that's the nature of the game currently.
What it really comes down to is this is their business, and this is their livelihoods, and this goes for everybody who's in the NFL trying to stay, trying to make some kind of, you know, carve out a niche or whatever. This is what they know, and they know that earning potential, as BT said, can be limited. You're not guaranteed to have a 10-year career or more. If you're a running back, you might have a 2-year career. And the numbers are that it's usually around 4 or 5. The shelf life is over for a running back. So you're trying to maximize as much as you possibly can because that's your business. That is your way to earn money. So I think what it really comes down to is, if that's what's in your best interest, to make as much as you possibly can until it's all over and you can't do it anymore, then I guess that's just how it goes, because I think we'd all do the same thing if we had that opportunity.
Now, fans of particular teams are emotional about those teams. They don't care about the players' best interests. They care about the franchises and the team's best interests and their ability to win. And if Melvin Gordon causes those few Charger fans to get upset, then I don't blame them either. And even last year, when Le'Veon Bell didn't have a contract, I can understand why Steelers fans would have been upset, because he was still property of the Steelers. He never showed up. But more so, if you do have a contract and you aren't showing up and you're costing your team potential victories, then I think that's where fans have an issue.
Well, some of them walked it back last year also. There were teammates of Le'Veon Bell who were outspoken about it and were upset about the fact that he wasn't there. And Bell, was it a $14 million contract that he had last year? The franchise tag. So that one, I totally understand being upset about. And I still think, while Bell didn't put the miles on his body and he did sign a good contract, you're not going to make that money back. Like, that's not going to happen. And I wonder at the end of his career if he'll look back and say, man, maybe I shouldn't have done that one. But to me, that was the only thing that got me mad about it from the Steelers standpoint, when his teammates are saying, oh, he needs to be here. What's going on? We have a chance to go win a championship, and he's not there. Now, certainly they had some other issues there. Antonio Brown had his issues. Certainly Ben Roethlisberger sounds like he's in the middle of basically all the issues.
And James Conner led the AFC in rushing.
Yeah, the guy who replaced him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know how to feel about these generally, but I do know they work themselves out.
Well, so, and that's what you brought up about James Conner. That is an important point, because I think running backs are aware of that too. And they're thinking, I better cash in as quickly as I can before the team I play for figures out they don't really need me. You know, I mean, they are really good at what they do, but they also know their earning potential is limited. So whatever they feel like they can do to get as much as they possibly can out of their situation, I don't have any problem with that. And I know that if I were to look at the text line right now, you probably got a bunch of people complaining that they make too much money as it is. Well, these guys can do something you cannot do. None of us can do. They are the best in the world at something we all watch, and we want to give our money to watch them, and we want to buy their jerseys and, you know, buy all the paraphernalia. We want to do all that stuff because they can do something none of us can do. So if they want to maximize all of that, I cannot blame a player for having that mindset.
And at the end of the day, with the situation the Chargers are in, you can pay him now or you can pay him later. And it doesn't matter that Todd Gurley has the knee injury and that the Rams probably will not get out of Gurley what they invested in him. At the end of the day, the Chargers are going to be too good to get that high pick to replace Melvin Gordon. You can't win without him this year. So if you're going to have to sign him next year, you might as well sign him now.
Get it over with.
Yeah.
Keep him happy. He's arguably your franchise player. He's great. That's a question, and the James Conner conversation made me think of it. Do you look at the depth chart before you hold out? Do you look around you and be like,
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
He's a tiny bit too talented right now. I'll just take my money, or I'll show up at some point. Because at some point, that's going to bite you. Like, and it didn't bite Bell. Bell's talented. Somebody jumped.
I don't think Le'Veon Bell really cared. I think you have to have a special personality, and I think he had that special personality just to spend a season not playing football.
Just do you say that because he had videos of him out on the jet ski a bunch of times?
Mm-hmm. Most players are going to buckle, right? Most people are just so competitive that they're going to buckle and say, no, I got to get in there and be with my guys.
Well, and if it's not even that, it's the money. Yeah. It was $14 million.
They're also not doing it in a vacuum, and I don't mean that literally. They're doing it with the suggestion of their agents. I think agencies, for the most part, have a pretty good idea of what the market's going to be for them or what would happen if they do hold out and what the outcome could be. I think it eventually worked out for Le'Veon Bell. But no player, Melvin Gordon included, is doing this unless their agency thinks it's a good idea.
It worked out for Bell, worked out for the Steelers, may not work out for the Jets.
Well... See, but it worked out for Bell.
Next up, are you searching for the secret to looking young forever? Katy Perry may have found it. She's really smart. That's next before With All Due Respect on 101.